No. Pa Sheehy wrote this on social media. I woke up this morning with this sentence in my head. Put a statue of Paul on top of Bean Vaughan and I grabbed my guitar and I ran with it. After witnessing Dingle pull off one of the greatest comebacks I've ever seen, a truly magical day for the town and our neighbours, here's a little response to the day.
And just when it looked like it's over and done, we pray to the sky, oh, we pray to the sun. A goal from Tiggy Brown sparked a roar from the crowd and the Gold Street ran came alive. Singing da 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 da. Top of being born, yeah, da 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 da, yeah, da 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 da. Take Tom Sullivan's boot and hang it in the Louvre, singing da 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 da, yeah, da 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 da, yeah, da 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 da.
Yeah, there you go. They're singing songs to Paul Gainey and the Dingle footballers after what a comeback it was against Ballyboden St Enda's at the weekend, the All-Ireland Senior Club Championship semi-final. Of course, that followed on in Páirc-Uí-Chaoimh from the intermediate semi-final between Ungaeltacht and Salins of Kildare itself. An incredible match that went right down to the wire. Controversy at full time, controversy at the end of extra time. Ungaeltacht winning it with an amazing two-pointer by Aina O'Connor Corr at the death to push them into an All-Ireland final. And previous to that, Ballymac were pushed all the way in their All-Ireland junior semi-final in Rathkeel. They dispatched Gray Novlin in Rathkeel on a final score of 213 to 16 points, a 3 points win for them. They will face Clogher Airoge of Tyrone in the decider in Croke Park next Sunday at 1:30 p.m. So incredible stuff. Really right throughout the weekend and all covered brilliantly well, I have to say, by the Radio Kerry sports team. I spoke to Tim Moynihan, who was commentator alongside Ambrose O'Donovan of the intermediate final and the senior, the intermediate semi-final and the senior semi-final in Páirc-Uí-Chaoimh. In a freezing cold Páirc-Uí-Chaoimh at the weekend, they were certainly heated up by the drama, and I first put that to him with the three Kerry teams all booking through. It was an incredible day's football and an incredible weekend of high drama.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you a whole pile now about the Ballymakelly game, but congratulations to them. Jerry, there's probably a question mark over every team in it. It's a funny time of year. You may not know a lot about the opposition. So it was a brilliant, brilliant weekend. And from our point of view, myself and Ambrose up in Páirc-Uí-Chaoimh, it was a cold spot, but drama right at the end. Two games going to extra time, so many things happening in the game, and Dingle the comeback kids. Ungaeltacht probably should have won it in normal time, but it didn't happen. But still, they showed resilience, and Aina O'Connor Corr with that massive 2-pointer. But it was an amazing weekend of Kerry football, and you'd be proud to be a Kerry man. And having three clubs going to Croke Park for All Ireland finals is absolutely brilliant. Couldn't ask for any more.
The Ungaeltacht game itself, I mean, how much of a challenge was it for them with so many players out through injury for that game against Salins?
Yeah, Jerry, like you look, it was four changes at the start. And big players, Ronan O'Bugley was out, Carl O'Bugley, Breen O'Bugley, their county man, was a huge loss. And likewise, Tomás O'Shea, the dancer, as we describe him, that was a huge loss. And Aidan Walsh was carrying a knock going into it. So it was pretty depleted because there were big names, weren't with him. But as it transpired, those players did come on and made a huge difference, but they did it the hard way as well. And they did so much work. There was a wing forward there for Salins, Jerry, the left half forward, Luke Killian. He was causing untold damage. But on the other side of the field, you had Rory O'Bugley at centre forward, kicking massive, massive scores, both from play and from freeze. And he kept his team in it as well. But they'd work very hard around the middle. And I thought he was outstanding as well, Aidan O'Bugley, the left half back for Ungaeltacht. So they did it the hard way, but it was all down to that big, big play. And somebody told me, PJ, I know PJ McLaugh, the captain of the Gaelic side, when Éanó Cunnacool was taking that, you know, it was outside the arc, a chance not going to draw it, but trying to go for the winner. And I think he made the signal to Éanó Cunnacool, go for the two. And that, and there's no other player probably on the pitch capable of doing what this guy does. You know, I call him the free spirit, and I hope he'd take it as more of a compliment than an insult. And that's what he did—a massive two-pointer to the delight of both every supporter there from West Kerry, including the Dingle people, and planted it over the bar, and it set us up nicely then for the second game, Gerry.
Yeah, and that's the issue. And look, for Éanó Cunnacool, what a moment, like, to decide to go. And he said, look, the players backed me. They said, look, go for it. And once they backed him, it was going over the bar, he said, no matter what.
Gerry, the same guy could kick a ball from the corner flag and go for a banana kick and it could go over the black spot. This is how I describe this player. And I call him the free spirit, and he's capable of planting it. And you'd ask what other player is capable of doing it. And brilliant. But this, it wasn't all about Ian either. They had to put themselves in that position, and they worked terrier-like, the Kino Morocco's of this world. Their backs are aggressive. And that's their foundation for it, especially with so many players missing as well, because there's always going to be pressure on the middle diamond. And then Aidan Walsh, the Kanturk man, now plying his trade on Gaelic, his back went midway through that second half as well. He was struggling, but it was a massive, massive effort. And we saw on the post-match interviews with Dara Kinnear what it means, the Gansey in Croke Park again, and that means so much to the club. And I'd always describe it as a club. We know where they're geographically located, but their culture, you know, their minding of the Irish language, their identity, and add football to that thing. And it's a very special moment going back to Croke Park. They were there at senior club level, now they're back at intermediate level, and what a day that's going to be.
Yeah, they rode their luck in the end. Salins could have won it. Will there be, obviously, with the controversy over the 50-metre free, Tim, and all that happened there. No, yeah. And Gaelic can point to normal time and say there was a three breach, a 4x3 breach, that they should have been rewarded for that, shouldn't have gone to extra time. You might say those balance things out, those decisions. But at the same time, like, if you look at what Salins had, they had two or three attacks in the dying moments of the game that they didn't convert. Kicked a couple of bad wides, and that was the winning and losing of it, I suppose, on one level.
And that's what's costing teams, Gerry. Those opportunities, especially when a game is close, you have to punish the opposition. But I think this game shouldn't have gone to extra time. We said about the breach, Gerry, everyone in the stadium, well, with the exception of the Salins supporters, were bringing it to the attention of the referee. And it's not good enough at this level, Gerry. And especially the Gaelic, you think about it, Gerry, they're with a depleted team, a load of injuries, and they were put in a position where they had to go in and play extra time with a game coming up in a week's time. I think at this level, Gerry, it's an All-Ireland semi-final. That is not good enough from the officials. And that's being brutally honest, because you're putting a team through torture that they shouldn't be going through that torture. But like you say, Salins, they were presented with opportunities, but they didn't avail of them. And as it came down to fairy tale stuff, Rye of the Rover stuff, and then Éanó Cunnacool getting his team into an All-Ireland final. I visited the dressing room after, and they were playing the music, the Irish trad music, the concertina. That's the way they celebrate. And what a unique and what a great story this on Gaelic journey to Croke Park is, Gerry.
Yeah. And then their neighbours in Dingle. I mean, what a game. What a comeback. 10 points down. I would say, you know, say dead and buried, Tim, but I always felt, listening to yourself and Ambrose during the game and knowing Dingle in the last number of years, it doesn't matter how much they're down by, they're never beaten. And they proved it again.
Yeah. What was very interesting the first half, Gerry, is that they didn't lay a hand on, and they'd be, and I'm sure that'd be their own admission as well, that they were so flat. And even speaking to their manager, Patrick Corkin, post-match, he agreed, but they just came off the blocks at pace. And the one man that was really hurting the Dingle side was the Kerry man. Our man, Patrick Warren, from Guinea of Gwilla, now playing his trade left half-back. Now he's more playing more like a half-forward. He caused untold damage to Dingle in that first half. He kicked 3 points, run into the pocket. And I don't know what, unless he was injured or his body language coming off the pitch, he wasn't happy. The whole game changed. But it also changed because of one man. and that is, you know, Paul Gainey. And we've said it for years. He'll go down, Jerry, and I wouldn't, I'm not trying to dilute it in any way, but he'll go down as one of the great club players. And when Paul Gainey doesn't play with Dingle, they're a different team. When he gets on the field, if he only had one leg, Jerry, they just, he inspires everyone around. It's like you turn the switch on. The ignition started again, and that was the comeback. And he's just so clever. And I saw straight away, Jerry, when he came onto the pitch, two players went on him. That'd tell you the threat.
Yeah.
And if you saw in the first half as well, a Col Flaherty, playing full back. No, he was more like a half back, you could say. But on the same token, he got so much room on the pitch. But when Paul Gainey came on, he had to go back. And that'd tell you that they're done. And they started asking questions early on in that second half of the Ballyboden side. And, I mean, the likes of Colin Baskill, he was outstanding in the first half.
Yeah.
He was just opening up the defence. But Paul Gainey ignited this comeback. But there was massive displays right around the field. Tom O'Sullivan then had that latitude when Pat Warren went off. You know, he could go into that pocket. And the execution of passes and scores by Tom O'Sullivan was absolutely brilliant as well. But it was a brilliant game. Drama right to the end. And I think it captured all of us. We all got taken away by the occasion.
Yeah, and Tim, again, when you talk about, I suppose, what happened in that game and when it went into the melting pot at the end, is it because Dingle have come through so many close games at the end that when the mental fatigue sets in, the physical fatigue sets in, you're running on empty, that's when the mental strength is needed to take the right options, shall we say. Ballyboden, much like Salins in the other game, they kicked a fair few key wides in those moments, despite hard work in getting the ball up the field, wrong options taken. Whereas Dingle, they've been through so many battles and so many last gasp wins that it's almost ingrained in them now that they do the right thing in the dying moments of game, no matter what the stakes are.
Yeah, you've hit it on the head there, Jerry. And one of those remarkable runs by Mark O'Connor. And we said it in commentary, Mark, do the right thing. What did he do? He composed himself. He was about 20 metres out, tapped it over with the right. That was a huge score. But there was unsung heroes as well. The likes of Tadhg De Bruyn playing at wing forward, amount of breaking ball. He had the game of his life. And I watched this fella down through the years. He'll always give it to you. But he gave you 120% last weekend. And it's the hurt over the years as well. The hurt at local level, reaching 3 or 4 county finals and beating in semi-finals. That all hurt has come together. But this is another competition now. And can you imagine, Jerry, the fellas you went to school with, went to primary school with, went to secondary school with, you played probably Pubble Skull with Pubble Skull Corcugina, going to All Ireland final. They are back now with those players. You must have the players as well, Jerry. But and they're such a small. You look at the club, Jerry. Look, I don't know what the membership of Dingle, but what's the population maybe of the town and just outside? Maybe 400 or 500. You look at Salins or Ballyboden rather, and they have something like 3,400. They could have 3,000 members in their club. They've several teams, and this even and pick from players right around the country. This is a serious story by Dingle as well. But look, everyone put Paul Gainey's two-pointer, that was absolutely huge, right outside the arc, threw it on the left and put it over the back. That was huge as well. And the equaliser. So, you know, it's an amazing story. It brought drama right in. We're only a few days into January and we have three teams in Croke Park, and hopefully that augurs well for the year ahead. But give, I suppose, credit to these three clubs, Ballymacallagas, likewise, on Gaeltacht and Dingle. It's just a pity they're not all on the one day. What an occasion to be in Croke Park.
Yeah, it would be amazing. Well, I think Dingle would be happy with a bit of the break to get players back fit and ready.
Yeah.
It's going to be a challenge for Gaeltacht next weekend, for Ballymac as well to get ready after a very tough game this weekend. A 1 week gap, that's it. Particularly with all the injuries that Gaeltacht have heading into that All Ireland final.
Yeah, on Gael, and that's the one thing I would have pitied from a injury point of view is on Gael. Look, they're big players. Like, I spoke to Aidan Walsh, he said he hoped to be right for next weekend. The only thing, the one plus as well from Gael, look, Bruno Bjorkli got some game time, and in Croke Park you have to have very clever players, and he just does the right thing at the right time. So I'm looking forward to that side. Huge loss is Carlo Bjorkli in the middle of the field. He's their 2-point specialist. He's the warrior. He's in the engine room. And I tell you, the medics will be doing all they can possible, because it isn't every chance you can get to Croke Park. But there's pressure on Gaeltacht, and there's no hiding place in Croke Park. And you'd hope maybe the likes of Tomás O'Shea is back. They need Tomás as well. You know, his runs, he's very direct, like the late John Egan. He goes towards goal. So a lot of things have to happen for the medics and to get these fellas right. And likewise, Ballymacallaghan had, from what I hear, had a very tough game as well. I think ran out 4-point winners in the end. But you the reserves, it's all down to the panel as well. And the big thing from a Dingle point of view, Gerry, Mark O'Connor will be available. We know that now. If he's back for the semi-final, he's back for the final as well. The only thing, their keeper, I think, is gone back to Australia. His wife is having a baby, and he wants to be back there for that serious big occasion. And hopefully they get Gavin back and everything will go well for him and his good wife as well. So lots of things happening, lots of little side stories to the whole thing. But isn't it absolutely brilliant that I'm speaking to you on the 5th of January about All-Ireland finals?
Yeah, unbelievable. And I have to look forward to it. Listen, you put in a brilliant shift yourself with Tim. I hope your knee's all right. With Ambrose, I hope your knees are right after it all.
I tell you, Jerry, I'm going through a lot with it at the minute, but the cold, I said to Ambrose at one stage, it was -3. Oh, no, it's -4. And he was on about the defib. The defib was to our right-hand side, but look, it was all worth it. Delighted to be here this morning chatting about it. And let's hope we'll have more of the same over the next 2 weekends.
Brilliant. Thanks, Tim. Great stuff.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah, there you go. That's Tim Moynihan on what a brilliant weekend of football that it was for the Kerry clubs, and lots to look forward to next weekend and the weekend after. In particular, if you have a view for us on that, if you were watching the games or listening to the games or at the games, get in touch with us on the programme.